Praise the Lord. I want to hit on a point here for folks. If you look at what Brad was reading over in Colossians, he was talking about let. Let. If you look at what Phil was talking about over in Romans 8, he was talking about how that carnal mind was at enmity with God. We have to put that thing off. And what I'm getting at here and what I want to turn to, you can turn to Matthew 15. I've got a skip bow card here as a bookmark that fell out. See, the heart is the place where we make our decision. It's with our heart that we choose to let the peace of God rule in our heart. All right, it's with our heart we choose to believe God. It's also with our heart where we choose to make excuse for ourselves, where we choose to doubt, where we choose to do these different things. And the latter, sadly, is more common than the former. Good example, if you take Phil's example at work yesterday where he was talking about how he had gotten all these, he had these guys who were filling in and they had a busy day and he had to depend on guys who were not part of his normal team and they were struggling to get things firing. What's the carnal mind do in that situation? Well, the carnal mind says, well, what do they expect of me anyways? I mean, they send me all these guys over here who don't know what they're doing, they're not part of my normal team and they expect me to do this? That's what the carnal mind says. Anybody ever had that come up? Anybody ever thought that way about a situation? See, but the spiritual mind goes, Lord, help. You are bigger than these guys. You are bigger than these phones. You are bigger than everything that's going on round about me. And so you lift it back up unto him, and God moves. That's what our life is supposed to be like every day. And you can hold your place here over in Matthew. I just want to read something out of John 8 for a moment. If you turn to John 8, and I'm going to start at verse 30 for a moment. And Jesus says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now I want to hold off here for a moment. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brad, you were talking about how you were talking to Phil, and what you had written everywhere was failure. That's the truth. That is a critical truth to know if you're going to then choose with your heart the Lord's way and to believe him. All right? If you don't know that truth that you are a failure, and if you hide from that truth and do everything you can to cover up that truth, then you're never going to be able to continue in his word and therefore be his disciple indeed. You're never going to be able to do it. Now, to get to that truth where you realize that you're a failure, let me ask you, who likes the idea of failing at everything? Every which way you turn, things seem to be going wrong rather than right. I mean, I remember in talking with Brad over the last couple of weeks, he hadn't seemed to enjoy that at all, personally. Am I getting that right, Brad? I mean, and when I've talked to him and just brought out, I said, all you're learning, Brad, is what was obvious to the rest of us all along, and particularly to the Lord. He already knew that. This wasn't a news flash to him. He knew that way back at the beginning. You're just now discovering it. And that's okay. Because what's he say? Without me, ye can do nothing. You've now discovered that, so now you can start doing something that is profitable in him. Praise God. It's an awesome thing. Doesn't feel good, but it's an awesome thing. Now, I wanted to share that with respect to that truth. And if you go through in John chapter 8 and have the chance to read over it at some point in time, if you look at verse 28, I just want you to see something. He says, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man," that's referring to his death on the cross, "then shall ye know that I am he," that is, that I am the Messiah, "and that I do nothing of myself." You see that? Jesus did nothing of himself. So when we look at Jesus, and we look at the extraordinary life that Jesus lived, how often do you have in your heart or your mind or your thoughts when you think of him, "Well, that was Jesus"? Anybody ever have those thoughts, like when they, to justify themselves why they don't do likewise, which is, "Well, that was Jesus"? Or maybe you do it like with the Apostle Paul, "Well, that was Paul. That's not me." Or maybe "That was Davy. That's not me. I can't do that kind of thing." Right? Anybody ever think that way? Anybody ever think and therefore justify themselves? Well, wait a second. If Jesus did nothing of himself, and ye can do nothing of yourself, well, what's the difference? Yeah, the difference is that Jesus believed his Father, and he loved his Father and us. That's the whole difference. He's no different from any of us. He did the same. He did the works of God by faith and love, just as we're called to do the works of God by faith and love. So the problem is, we're not walking by faith and love. Well, that stinks, right? And I share this with you down here in South Carolina, I mean, and to everybody else who's listening, but I'm here in South Carolina, because this is a time to take stock of where you are. This is a time to get down and get down to the nitty-gritty truth of where you're standing. And if you're not standing in the right place, which the truth is, I'll let you in on a little secret, you're not. If you're not standing in the right place, then you need to take stock of why and what you need to do to turn it around. And when you do, the Lord will be quick to help you. Now, if we turn over to Matthew 15, and I share this because, look, we sing songs, right? We sang these songs, and I see people stand up. Some people stand up, and I see some people clapping, and I see people singing and stuff like that. And praise God. Don't hear me wrong. You know, the scripture says the Lord inhabiteth the praises of his people. Amen. But a lot of what people are doing is really not praise. And it's really not about him. It's about them. It's about how they look in front of other people. And it's about justifying themselves. Neither of those things are about God. And so over in Matthew 15... I'm going to read a little passage beginning at verse 1. Really where I want to talk is a little farther down, but that way you guys have it in context. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying..." So in other words, now come the religious people. The people who were around them were not the religious people. Now the religious people are showing up. And religion is the enemy of faith. Let me just tell you, religion is the enemy of faith. The more religious you are, generally the less faith you have. "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" In other words, these guys had made a bunch of different traditions and rules that they followed, which were not what the Word of God said. And in the things that they were following, they were actually transgressing what God said to do. That's very common. Just go into any church on Sunday, you're going to hear that and see that just about. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, okay, and this is the point I wanted to get to. There's a prophecy. If you go back and read Isaiah 29, you'll read about this very prophecy that he's speaking of here. And this prophecy was going to be fulfilled in Israel, and it was being fulfilled right here with Jesus, and it was completed with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the scattering of the children of Israel. Ugly. Very, very ugly. And he says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. See, that's the thing. We come together and we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And they go around, they tell everybody, Jesus is Lord. And they tell everybody, Jesus saves. And they tell everybody all these things. But let's watch what it says. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Remember what I was saying about the heart is that the heart is the place where you make your decision. That's the place where you make your decision. Do you believe God? Will you trust God? Will you serve God? Will you love another? That's where that decision is made, is in your heart. So you can say all these other things all day long, but if your heart does not show those around you the love of God, I don't care how many times you say praise Jesus around people, they're not going to believe you. I know for me, it was because of such people, which was basically, I was not a person by the time I reached 28 who had not had experience with church to one degree or another. Now, I didn't grow up in the Bible Belt, so I'm not claiming to have been like in a place like South Carolina where you have all the signs out front saying, you know, Jesus saves, and you got churches everywhere, and people even talk about them in the marketplace and the like. That wasn't the community I grew up in, right? But I grew up in enough of a community of people who called themselves Christian and were around enough people who called themselves Christians and the like to reach a conclusion about those who called themselves Christians. And that was that they were living in a fantasy world. There was no soundness in them. None. I didn't want anything to do with them. Nothing. And me, I was as hostile to Christianity as you could be without, I mean, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a guy who was going to go around and burn churches or things like this. But I mean, even when I was traveling in Latin America and speaking in Spanish, there was nothing that was more exciting to me than to be in the back of a bus or the middle of a bus with a bunch of folks who wanted to talk to me about Christ so I could, in whatever language I could speak, turn them around by the nose and just show how what stupid idiots they were and that there was nothing to their faith. I wonder how it had done with some of you. I can tell you, when I came to know the Lord, I came to know the Lord because of one. Because of one man standing. Not because of a multitude, but because of one man standing. And we have talked many times about how the time we are at in America and in Christianity today, if there's not a turnaround, is we are in a time which it's come full circle, where just as Israel was at the time that Jesus came, so is the Gentile church today. In other words, the prophecy of Isaiah relating to the Jews of Jesus' time, well saith Isaiah of thee, what was it? Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what we're living in, is a time when the hearts of the people are far from Jesus. If you go through and read that prophecy, you're going to find how the word is sealed to them. They cannot see it. They cannot understand it. They look for somebody else to explain it to them because they don't get it. And the people who stand up and give it to them, they don't get it either, which we're going to read as we go on here. He says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, when you don't know the Lord and you don't know his way, what do? You turn to that which you do know. You turn to that which you do know and you use it to justify yourself. And you build these little groups of people who all stand around and justify themselves on some principle other than what the word says. And that's why you had divisions. We call them denominations. And that's what you had back in the time of Israel. And he says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now I wanted to hit on this point because one of the things is, if you want to know where somebody else's heart is, listen to what they say. If you want to know where your own heart is, listen to what you say. And when somebody says to you, repeats to you that which you say, and you say, well, that's not what I meant, shut up. Stop immediately and go, I'm an idiot. Please forgive me, Lord. Let me hear what I actually said. Because I do not even know. The scripture talks about how man does not even know what's in his own heart. You don't even realize what's in your heart. And if you presume to think your heart is good, well, you're presuming contrary to the scripture, which says man's heart is only evil continuously. And so when you will stop and first of all listen to what others say and compare it to what the word says, now you're going to be able to minister. And if you listen to what you say relative to what the word says, now you can correct yourself. You don't actually have to wait around for somebody like me to come and correct you and then not like me. Right, see, people don't go and they go, well, that, you know, God, man, you're this, that, and the thing. What they do is, why didn't Steve come over here? Or why didn't Davey come over here and help me? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do the other thing? Why didn't they do this stuff? Because, of course, what you're saying is that you're judging us at fault before God because we didn't do what you think God should be doing right then. And it's not God's fault, of course. It's those stupid, ignoramus ministers who you have set up who think they're something when they're nothing. Well, the truth is, I know I'm nothing. That's the problem. Not for me, but for you. See, when you actually think you're something, then you're deceiving yourself. See, that sin that doth so easily beset us is that sin that doth justify us in all the wrong things we do. All right? That's what it does. So he comes over here and he says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Oh no, all the religious leaders didn't like what you said. This greatly troubled Jesus. Not at all. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. See, one of the things people don't realize is people with their heart, you vote with your heart. Right? Where you go to fellowship is a function of what's in your heart. If you choose to go fellowship in a Pharisaical church or one of these different types of things, that's because that's what's in your heart. Now, if you are there mistakenly and a whole bunch of different things and you don't know anywhere else to go, God will reach you. It's amazing how many times the Lord will send a minister into a place and say a thing. Even when we were in South Africa, Megan knows this, there was one woman over there who I knew had actually heard. And I shared with her because the minister there, this church with tens of thousands of people, there were like 5,000 there that day, but it has it all over continents and the like. Man, nothing that guy said was of God. I didn't believe he even was a believer. I don't believe he's ever born again. And in 13 years, he had made it a church that was over multiple continents, tens of thousands of people. And there was one woman who I believed actually might be able to hear. And when we spoke to her, she rejected because she was offended at the idea that I would say such a thing about her minister who, what, 6 months later fell. He was discovered as committing adultery with various women in the church, and they defrocked him and threw him out and did all. So Jesus says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And we got to finish up here. And he then concludes by explaining to his disciples what it means about why what comes out of the heart is what defileth a man. What cometh out of the mouth defileth a man, because it cometh from the heart. And that's what I want you to look at. Your heart is where you vote. It's where you decide. And if you're not in the right place, it's a problem in your heart. It's not anybody else's problem. It's yours. And you got to recognize it if you're going to learn and get it cleaned up as David did. Create in me a clean heart. Amen.